you got cooking? How about cooking something up with me?
Let's stir it up, boys.
Welcome to the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, a weekly excursion into the fine art of preparing the world's most popular recipes under an open sky and an open flame. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the old grill sergeant, Randy Hayes.
Good morning. Wow. If only I had a dollar for every time I've said that on the radio. Well, for those of you who don't know my background, I've done early morning radio for the majority of my 50-plus years on the air, and I'm sure I've said good morning at least, what, a half a dozen times every day? So that's 6 times 5 days a week, that's 30, times 52 weeks. Wait, I was told there'd be no math. Seriously, that was one of the main reasons I was drawn to broadcasting in the first place. No math. Or so I thought. Then I had to take the test to get my license from the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission. And there it was. Math. Oh, it wasn't algebra or quantum physics. Does that even qualify as math? And that right there shows you how little I know about math. I remember taking algebra in college at TCU. First day of class, professor walks in the room and announces, in broken English no less, because he was not originally from this country, "We all understand basic algebra, so let's go directly to chapter 3. My eyes got bigger than 2 thin and crispy pizzas. And I said, "I don't understand basic algebra. Heck, I don't even understand you." So I wound up dropping the course. I took it later from a grad assistant who actually started at the beginning of the textbook. Wow, what a concept. So that'll give you a good idea of how really bad I am at math. The only math I can do is figuring out how much time I have left before the show is over, which means 60. I can count to 60, as in minutes. 60 minutes. Eat your heart out, Andy Rooney. Well, eating is why we're here, isn't it? A smoother transition has never been made in radio, even by Andy Rooney. Andy and Randy, wow, that has a certain ring to it, doesn't it? Kind of like Hudson and Harrigan. But I digress. Eating, right. Yeah, eating. Let's get back to the real reason why we created the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show in the first place. Eating. And we've entered that season of the year in which eating becomes so very important, haven't we? Well, realistically speaking, I guess eating is important in every season of the year to a certain extent. But I'm talking about the holidays. We start with Halloween candy. Then we go through Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's, and we eat a lot during that period of time, don't we? And most of us don't even make excuses about it anymore. My son has said many times the only reason why he tries to lose weight in the early fall is so he can eat all he wants during the holidays. I knew I raised that boy right. And as we discussed briefly last week, there are so many food-related observances connected with the month of November. No, don't worry, I'm not going to list them all again. But they do include things like pecans, figs, even pomegranates. You know, I'm not even sure I've ever eaten a pomegranate. Have you? This would be a good time to look it up real quick, because Google is your friend. Let's see, pomegranate. How do you spell pomegranate? Well, close enough. Oh, here we go. The pomegranate, also known as Punica granatium. Okay. Deciduous. Did I say that right? Deciduous shrub or small tree in the family of another word I can't pronounce that grows between 15 to 25 feet tall. The fruit is typically in season in the northern hemisphere.
That's us, right?
Yeah. From September to February, and are used in baking, cooking, juice blends, meal garnishes, smoothies, and alcoholic beverages. Pomegranates originated in Persia. That's modern-day Iran, in case you didn't know. Well, there's 60 seconds of my life I'll never get back. Like I said, I don't even think I've ever eaten a pomegranate. But I am looking forward to Thanksgiving dinner. And that kind of indirectly ties into the topic of today's edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, a method of cooking known as roasting, because November is National Roasting Month, and we roast turkeys for Thanksgiving, don't we? So I guess, first of all, we should define the difference between roast beef and roasting beef as a cooking technique. In point of fact, one could roast a roast, and we often do. But the cut of meat we call roast does not necessarily have to be roasted. Or am I overstating the obvious here? The roasting need not necessarily involve meat. Vegetables are equally delicious when roasted, not to mention a lot of other foods like nuts and pears, just to mention a couple. And celebrities often roast each other to raise money for charity. But enough about Dean Martin and Don Rickles. However, I do know for a fact that Foster Brooks really liked to get roasted on a pretty regular basis. Wow, you got to be a geezer to get that one.
Can we get back to food now, Randy?
Yes, I hear you. Okay. National Roasting Month, right? According to Wikipedia, roasting is a cooking method that uses dry heat where hot air envelops the food, cooking it evenly on all sides with temperatures of at least 300 degrees from an open flame oven or other heat source. Well, I'll tell you right now, if I've learned anything about roasting this week, it's that description is a generalization, and there are a lot of professional chefs who will take exception with it, especially the temperature part. Because there's slow roasting and low roasting, and some people swear by it. I usually swear at it, but only because it delays dinner time. And my family will tell you, you don't want to be around me when I get hangry. At any rate, Wikipedia goes on to say, meats and most root and bulb vegetables can be roasted. Any piece of meat, especially red meat, that has been cooked in this fashion is called a roast. Wait a minute. Isn't there such a thing as a pork roast? And didn't the National Pork Board tell us years ago, pork, the other white meat, as in chicken? So which is it? Is pork red meat, as in roast? Or is it the other white meat, as in chicken? This is why my wife likes to say, in this family, crazy does not skip a generation. So don't even bother to try to figure me out, because not even the little voices inside my head understand me. It's pointless. Focus, Randy. Focus. Okay, so roasting can either be low and slow, or fast and furious. Or it can be both. No, I'm not kidding. You should seriously stop expecting normal from me anyway. We all know that's never going to happen, right? No, there is a method of roasting in which you actually do utilize a combination of slow roasting and high temperature roasting, and you can do it at either end. Of the process of roasting, what'd you think I meant? If you can't convince them, confuse them, Randy. No, really, you can roast the roast at a high temp at the beginning or the end of the process to give the food a crispy quality. I'm not real sure why anybody would want their roast beef crispy, but whatever gets you through the night, Fluffy. I guess crispy vegetables have a certain appeal for some people, but I like most of my vegetables soft and pliable, kind of like my sofa. I hope you weren't counting on me for any meaningful cooking commentary today, because obviously, I don't even need alcohol to stop making sense today. I know I have the ability to drive people crazy. I'm not sure whether I was born with it or if I learned it, but dang, I am good at it, aren't I? Obviously, the tail of the squirrel is set on high this morning. Oh, you silly ninny nincompoop. Oh, and by the way, you can find that reference in my book, Houston's Morning Show, The True Story of Hudson and Harrigan. So, I'll turn to some people whose heads are considerably more level than mine this morning. for some real cooking expertise during this National Roasting Month on Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Meanwhile, I'll just be your host with the roast. Oh, don't even bother putting your hand over my mouth to shut me up. You know I'll just lick your palm.
If your barbecue's gone up in smoke and your cooking reputation is at stake, stick around. The Old Grill Sergeant will be right back with more ideas and advice to make your next cookout sizzle.
Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po'boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all, 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke.
Does the cell phone connectivity in your office stink? Do you routinely miss calls? Lots of buildings have dead zones, and that means garbled or dropped calls, but not anymore. Texas Cell Phone Boosters provides FCC-approved cell phone booster systems that can make dead zones a thing of the past. These are not rinky-dink systems from big box stores. These are commercial-grade booster systems that cover tens of thousands of square feet. And Texas Cell Phone Boosters will specifically engineer and install a system in your office or warehouse. If you drive or regularly work in remote locations, Texas Cell Phone Boosters can help you boost a weak signal from a tower a long way off. So don't miss calls from potential customers any longer. Call the pros at Texas Cell Phone Boosters, 832-551-1000. That's 832-551-1000. Or go to texascellphoneboosters.com.
Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782. Hi, it's Randy Hames again. Everybody needs a new video, or a new website, or help in managing their social media. And my company, Edgewater Multimedia, can help. We help small businesses navigate the intimidating world of cyber advertising. You've got a business to run, and you don't have time to build and maintain your own website all by yourself, and you certainly don't have time to generate content for it. And when's the last time you had an extra hour or two to post something on your company's Facebook or Twitter accounts? Like never, right? Well, at Edgewater Multimedia, that's what we do. We have a web designer on staff who has built some of the most eye-catching websites you've ever seen. And Edgewater features a photographer and videographer who can capture beautiful images to enhance the content on your website, not to mention social media. We can even manage your Facebook and Twitter accounts for you. Call us today, 832-500-4272, or see our website, edgewatermultimedia.com.
Life is simple. Eat, sleep, grill. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the grill father, Randy Hames.
It's an honor now to speak with Chef Terrence Gallivan, the executive chef and co-owner of the Pass and Provisions on Taft. Hi, Terrence.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How'd I do on your last name?
Sounds good to me.
A quick glance at your website for the Pass and Provisions reveals a description: two restaurants under one roof. Explain what that means.
So 5 years ago, this past September, a good friend of mine, Cecil Gardner, who's the other co-chef and owner here, we set out to kind of open two parallel visions that we had for our first restaurant, or restaurants, I should say. So the Pass was our fine dining option, and the Provisions was a much more casual option. And the reason that we did that was because we really like the feel of not large cavernous restaurants. We wanted to have two spaces that were, I'm going to say tiny, but a little more intimate, a little more personal, that we can kind of go two different routes with the food. Whereas in the Pass is our tasting menu, so it's a little more fine dining, a little more upscale. And then in Provisions is our, we like to call it our everyday restaurant. Like, you know, it's the food that we would like to eat, a style of food we like to eat on our day off. Like, come get a pizza, we're big into pastas, so we have a lot of pastas on the menu, fresh oysters, roasted steaks, some fresh fish, and things like that.
And these two separate restaurants, are they serviced by the same kitchen?
Yes, so we have a quite a large kitchen that we inherited here at the space on Taft Street. So on the one side is Provisions chefs cooking all the food for Provisions, and then the back, the other side is all Pass chefs doing that. For that restaurant, the only exception would be our bread and pastry department is kind of just services both areas simultaneously.
And we understand there's a significant amount of history involved in the building where Pass and Provisions are located. Tell us that story.
Yeah, I think we're very fortunate to have a space that we were able to take over that has been completely involved from the onset in food in some way or another. The building, as far as we could figure out, dates back to the 1920s, where it was an Italian import company known as Antone's.
Wow.
You may know the name Antone's if you're a Houstonian or in the area. The gentleman who owned, the proprietor who operated this import company in Delhi, married a woman from New Orleans, and then obviously po' boys became the focus, and then years later, obviously became sort of ubiquitous with Houston. Was Antone's Po' Boys. So this was the first location, which is actually in what's currently our bar area. It was like the old market and import company, and then with the kitchen and the rest of the restaurant, now there was more of the warehouse and so on. So we're very proud of that. Actually, when we were doing the build-out, we actually found the original sign that hung up front, and he was kind enough to let us have it. And we cleaned it up. It currently hangs in our Provisions dining room.
Wow, that's really cool. Antone's, of course, an iconic Houston eatery. Let's start by talking about the Pass. Explain the concept behind the area of a restaurant that you professionals refer to as the Pass.
Yeah, so the idea was the Pass is the table or the area of the kitchen where all the food sort of comes together. All the different mise en place, as they call their ingredients, once the chef is done cooking them, preparing them, comes up to the Pass, and then the executive chef or the sous chef or chef de cuisine, whoever's running the service at that point, will assemble the dish on that table. So I thought it was being the focal point of the restaurant, it was apropos to call it the Pass.
And you mentioned tasting menus a moment ago. Give us some examples of what patrons will eat when they order from a tasting menu.
So, our idea of fine dining or what we're trying to accomplish is certainly to kind of remove some of the stuffiness that's associated, I think, with fine dining, but also kind of keep intact some of the things that we really enjoy about fine dining restaurants, where you have, a lot of people were like, what, years ago, started to go away from white tablecloths. Well, we kind of kept the white tablecloths. We think it's a nice, part of going out to eat is that elegance and that luxury. But at the same time, we don't want to, we want people to have fun and relaxed. So the tasting menu itself is sort of meant to invoke, hopefully you're obviously first and foremost wanted to taste good and you want to enjoy what you're eating. We also want you to have a little bit of fun while you're with us too. And so we hope to kind of put familiar flavors on the plate, but maybe present them a little bit more differently, a little more playful. Right now we offer a 5-course tasting menu. So those 5 courses are set. But we do offer one or is up to 3 different supplements, kind of depending on what sort of ingredients we're getting at the time. So you can kind of scale up your experience, or if you want to keep it just like to this, to the core five courses, that's perfectly fine as well. So right now we have kind of runs of the gambit. We've got a beef dish. We have a poached shrimp dish. Get some really nice pork from a farm out in Fayetteville called Yonderway, where we just kind of do like a really simple but hopefully elegant raviolo, just like a really nice braised pork raviolo with the really nice pork that we're getting from them. And then we add on the supplements, so we can do a caviar and pancakes course. And the idea here was that we could, you know, instead of presenting the caviar as an ingredient, we just do sort of a classic preparation where you just get like a few ounces of some really nice, beautiful caviar, but maybe some different components. So we serve with a classic blinis, which you typically get with a caviar course, but we also serve it with a Japanese pancake. You know, there's no necessarily traditional reason for that. We just think those two things would taste really good together. It'd be kind of fun. So you're getting the three different types of caviar and you're getting three different types of pancakes with that.
Now let's talk about provisions. You've got soups, you've got salads, you've got pizzas. Let's stop right there. Talk about your pizzas for a minute.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, we're big fans of pizza and pasta, so we wanted to kind of put a focus on that. And the first thing you kind of see when you come into the dining room provisions is this big wood-fired hearth oven where we cook all of our pizzas in addition to all the roasted meats and things like that as well. So we kind of use the, you know, on the one hand, we consider ourselves somewhat purist in a sense, but at the same time, you know, we want it to be satisfying, we want it to be slightly different, want it to be, you know, approachable, but unique at the same time. So, you know, we always have that margarita style in there where it's, if we're getting really beautiful fresh tomatoes in the summertime or in the spring and fall, we'll just literally just put them in the oven with some garlic, olive oil, and salt, let them kind of blow up in their own juices, and then you turn that into a fresh tomato sauce. In the wintertime, we use more of, some really high-quality canned tomatoes to make the sauce that we add some fresh tomatoes to kind of brighten it up. We make a lot of different sausages and pâtés and so on in the house, so we'll try to use as much of those on the pizzas as well. And then also just really good cheeses. I mean, we're fortunate to work with the Houston Dairy Maids cheesemongers who always provide really delicious cheeses for our pizzas, so we try to focus on those as well. So it's usually four or five different types of cheese on our pizza menu at any given time.
Today's edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show is saluting November as National Roasting Month. So tell us how you prepare your roasted striped bass.
You know, with fish, I think especially in the way that we do this particular dish is where we leave the skin all on it. The idea is just to keep, you know, simplicity is key, and you know, the technique of roasting a fish is very different from that of roasting a piece of meat or, you know, a piece of beef or a piece of pork or something like that. So it's a delicate, not a lot of fat in this particular fish. So really just nice, medium hot pan, get that skin nice and crispy. And then personally, I think it's try to keep the flesh side off the heat as much as possible. Just kind of let that skin get nice and crispy. And then like that kind of carryover heat, if you want to give it a quick little broil at the end to finish the cooking on the flesh side, but that usually results in some like a pretty juicy and flaky, delicious the flesh, and then the skin, as I mentioned, like nice and crispy, and kind of like that juxtaposition of textures is always really appealing.
Now, give us some advice. What's the biggest mistake most of us home chefs make when we're roasting meat?
I think part of it is probably equipment, but also, I mean, don't be afraid of the heat. I mean, if you want to get that nice, beautiful Maillard reaction on whatever type of protein or vegetable or whatever you're roasting, and you need high heat to do that. And I think, and a lot of times, you can't be afraid to kind of just make sure that the pan is screaming hot. You got an appropriate amount of fat in there, and then you get that nice kind of sear, and then dial it up the heat back so you can, you know, finish the cooking at a less aggressive, but you have that beautiful, that nice crust if it's a piece of beef or the crispy skin, the piece of fish. But I think that's a lot of times you end up getting the kind of boiled texture or you know, it's not that beautiful reaction you're getting there.
This has been Terrence Gallivan of the Pass and Provisions on Taft. What's your website, Terrence?
It's passandprovisions.com, all spelled out.
And social media presence?
Yep, we're on Instagram, at Pass Provisions, Twitter the same. And then we have a Facebook page as well. You just search Pass and Provisions in Houston. It should pop up there.
We appreciate your time, Terrence. We hope you'll come back.
Likewise. Thanks a lot for having me.
Stay patient. Dinner will be ready right after the smoke alarm goes off. Randy will be right back with more smoking hot tips for you and your old flame right after this short break.
Randy Hames is my name, but many of you know me better as half of one of Houston's most iconic early morning comedy radio shows, The Hudson and Harrigan Show. Now, I'm no longer Irv Harrigan, but I've written a book about the show that I think you'll love. Fred Olson and I hosted the show for almost 30 years, and we enjoyed unbelievable rating success and won numerous awards. But the best part was, we were just having fun. Listeners told us they laughed all the way to work every day, too, with characters such as Jim Bob Jumpback, The Story Guy, and Tyrone, plus dozens of others. Houston's morning show recreates some of those hilarious on-air moments and gives you a unique behind-the-scenes peek at even funnier off-air events. Plus, I've carefully chronicled an accurate history of the show and how it evolved. Houston's Morning Show. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or as an audiobook on iTunes. Get your copy of Houston's Morning Show today and join the fun. Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po'boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all. 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke.
If you're in the energy industry and want to drive down costs, it's time to automate. NuStar Energy Services provides automation solutions for pipelines, independent producers, and any company in the exploration and production sector. Still sending someone out in a pickup to read the flow computer on your well? For about $1 a day, NuStar can collect all the data remotely so you can monitor everything on a customized web portal. Heck, you can't even buy a gallon of gas for a truck for $1. How about the levels on your tanks at the well site? For about $1 a day, NuStar can set up remote monitoring so you can see the level in real time and even turn pumps on or off remotely. And remember, NuStar's remote monitoring packages start at about $1 a day. So call NuStar Energy Services today and improve your bottom line. 832-917-1200. That's 832-917-1200. Or NuStarInc.com.
Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Seeley on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on-site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Seeley on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782.
Stand back. We've got our grill on. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the grill father, Randy Hames.
It's time to say hello to one of our best buddies, Ron Brandani of Brandani's Restaurant and Wine Bar. How you doing, Ron?
Doing great. How you been doing?
Very well. How's Claire?
She's wonderful. She's doing great. We're getting ready for the holidays here, so doing good.
For those who haven't heard us talk about the Brandani family, Ron and Claire are married, obviously. They co-own and operate Brandani's Restaurant and Wine Bar. Plus, they have two kids, two boys, right, Ron?
That's right.
On another personal note, we couldn't help but notice you and your sweet family made a trip to Disney World recently. As a professional chef, what is your opinion of the food in Disney World?
You know what? That's a good question. You know, we did a meal plan where we could have anything we want every day, and because we just didn't want to be kind of handcuffed to what we could eat and all that stuff. And we just wanted to have it kind of pre-planned. We went to a lot of restaurants, and it was real interesting, just the menu design, because every menu was really the same. All of them had like a braised beef on it. They had some sort of high-end pork, like a Duroc pork, which is a heritage pig, and they'd have a couple fish, and there were all different recipes for those things, but all the menus had the same thing on it. And there was definitely some hits. There was a couple misses, but I mean, the food out there is, we had some pretty good service and the food was good. And we had a great time in Disney, of course, but I thought Universal actually had a little better food.
Wow.
I'll just say it.
Well, our family especially enjoyed Chefs de France in Epcot. The French onion soup was really good. Now, don't get me wrong, it wasn't as good as La Centrale in San Francisco, but it was good. And yes, we all had the steak that day.
Oh, yeah.
But Brandani's Restaurant and Wine Bar is our family's favorite in Fort Bend County World. And I have to tell you, we got takeout from you guys on Halloween night before we went trick-or-treating in the World Series. And my son and daughter-in-law get the same thing every time we go to your restaurant. One of them gets a cheeseburger with fries. The other one gets fried chicken with fries. And then they half each order. That's a cool idea.
Oh, yeah. We did a little fried chicken family meal for the World Series. And I think we're closed on Sunday and Monday. So from Friday, Saturday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we sold 3,000 pieces of chicken.
Wow.
So that's a lot of fried chicken. I'll just tell you that right now.
Just move over, Colonel. But aside from your incredible pasta dishes, his name is Brandani, after all, you also feature some outstanding fish entrees, some fresh salmon from Boyd's One Stop at the base of the Texas City Dike would be great for dinner tonight, but if you're not in the mood to grill it yourself, tell us how you prepare the salmon and risotto at Brandani's.
Well, that dish, I wanted to keep it really simple and kind of a little lighter, not a butter sauce. And I use our house seasoning, and we pan sear it, right on the flat top, and then get a nice crust on it, and then finish it in the oven. And it kind of creates a crust on both sides without, making it, we cook it just medium, and I love it. But we do a little, basil oil, and we do a little tomato vinaigrette with it on the plate, and the risotto is where you're going to get the richness from, and so that saffron risotto is pretty special. And so we add a little asparagus in that, and that's going to have, you always finish your risotto with some cheese and butter, and so that's the richness, if you would say, on that dish. But I really like to keep salmon pretty simple.
And tell us about the snapper. How do you make that dish?
The snapper, Gulf Red snapper, is one of my favorite things, and so we keep the skin on it. And so what I'll make is like a crispy skin snapper, and then it's a chili sauce that I add blood orange to. I add a lot of just citrus notes, a little bit of orange juice, garlic, onion. It's just it's got a little spice to it, but it's a great dish. And I finish that with the sweet potatoes, the ginger sweet potatoes, and the kale that I finish with balsamic. And people always wonder how I make the kale taste good, but it's how do you do that? I can't at home make this taste this good. But I saute it with sliced garlic, and then really I just saute that kale for about a minute, if that, and then add just a little balsamic, and the balsamic evaporates in the pan. It's so hot. And I put it on the plate real quick. So the key is just not overcooking it.
Today's edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show honors National Roasting Month, which is November. So let's talk about some techniques involved in roasting meat or vegetables as opposed to other cooking methods. What are the advantages to roasting?
Well, I mean, I think roasting, you kind of get that really nice color on something. I mean, I think the dish that I think people fail to really understand is, just roasting a chicken and doing it perfectly is something of a, it's an art. And I love, that roasted chicken where you get the nice crispy skin and maybe some herbs, and it's probably one of my favorite meals.
So what are some of the tips and tricks you've learned about making the skin crispy and how to achieve that over the years?
Well, you definitely have a real hot oven, but I like to actually, if you can, cut that chicken in half and cut the backbone out of it and lay that chicken flat on some here at the restaurant every now and then. I'll do it with, you know, sliced lemon. So it's laying on the sliced lemon, but at home you could do it with maybe some par-cooked potatoes or baby carrots, lemon. And then for the skin I'll do salt and pepper and a little bit of chili powder and just rub a little bit of oil on it and a little dab of butter. And again, it's got to be in a real hot oven, but that'll nicely brown the skin, get crispy, and give a lot of flavor to it.
And so what is the optimal temperature that we should use when we roast a chicken or even vegetables?
Well, if you, you know, if you're roasting if you cut the chicken in half like that, you can roast it, you know, 450, 400. But if you're roasting a whole chicken, you've got to lower the temperature a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the key is crispy skin, right? So, and then juicy chicken in the middle. So the key is getting that oven really hot, and then that actually gives color to those vegetables underneath as well. So, you know, it's with roasting vegetables, I love to just take a lot of your root vegetables, your carrots and turnips and fennel, and you toss them together with some olive oil and hit them in the oven the same way. And so one of the things I think a lot of people do, well, if you use a pan that's got a really deep sides on it, you don't get the circulation of the air browning the vegetables. So make sure you do it on a flat, like a sheet pan, and then you'll get some more color on your vegetables. That's the same with even roasting chicken. You know, if you roast it on a pan that has deep sides, it's never going to get that color because it's not, the chicken's not sitting above the pan.
Can we roast meat or veggies on a grill outdoors? And if so, what techniques should we use?
Well, you know what? I mean, I think you can. One of the things with, you know, that's basically what you're doing when you're barbecuing. And on my gas grill, what I'll do is I'll get the whole grill really hot and then turn off. I got a 4-burner gas grill, so then I'll turn off 2 of the burners, and that's where I'll put the chicken or pork or whatever I'm doing out there. And so you're basically cooking on the cold side, but you started with a hot grill, and it was hot all the way around. So you get a nice roast on that. And those are quick roasts. And you know, if you're doing something slow, it's more of a braise. You're braising in a liquid. And I'll tell you, one of the fun things my wife bought me a pellet grill, and, you know, I don't have a lot of time to be at home making brisket and ribs and stuff like that, but, you know, those things are almost like cheating. I mean, you can go out there and you can put something on that deal and forget about it, leave, come back, and it's, you know, obviously it's working, it's electric, so it kind of works by itself and just my deal can cook at 200 or 160 to 500, so does add a lot of flavor to something and obviously not a lot of work.
And Ron, I have to tell you, I've had 2 different listeners contact me and want to know, what's the name of that restaurant in Fort Bend County that fed the first responders during Hurricane Harvey? I want to give them my business. So it is Brand Danny's Restaurant and Wine Bar at 3340 FM 1092 or Murphy Road in Missouri City. So what's your website, Ron?
It's BrandDannies.com.
We've been discussing roasting techniques for National Roasting Month with our good friend, Ron Brandanny. Always a pleasure, Ron. Give our best to Claire.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Life is short. Grill while you can. Randy will be right back with more food and fun after this break.
Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Seeley on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782. Hi, it's Randy Hames again. Everybody needs a new video, or a new website, or help in managing their social media. And my company, Edgewater Multimedia, can help. We help small businesses navigate the intimidating world of cyber advertising. You've got a business to run, and you don't have time to build and maintain your own website all by yourself, and you certainly don't have time to generate content for it. And when's the last time you had an extra hour or two to post something on your company's Facebook or Twitter accounts? Like never, right? Well, at Edgewater Multimedia, that's what we do. We have a web designer on staff who has built some of the most eye-catching websites you've ever seen. And Edgewater features a photographer and videographer who can capture beautiful images to enhance the content on your website, not to mention social media. We can even manage your Facebook and Twitter accounts for you. Call us today, 832-500-4272, or see our website, edgewatermultimedia.com. Randy Hames is my name, but many of you know me better as half of one of Houston's most iconic early morning comedy radio shows, The Hudson and Harrigan Show. Now, I'm no longer Irv Harrigan, but I've written a book about the show that I think you'll love. Fred Olson and I hosted the show for almost 30 years, and we enjoyed unbelievable rating success and won numerous awards. But the best part was, we were just having fun. Listeners told us they laughed all the way to work every day, too, with characters such as Jim Bob Jumpback, The Story Guy, and Tyrone, plus dozens of others. Houston's morning show recreates some of those hilarious on-air moments and gives you a unique behind-the-scenes peek at even funnier off-air events. Plus, I've carefully chronicled an accurate history of the show and how it evolved. Houston's Morning Show. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or as an audiobook on iTunes. Get your copy of Houston's Morning Show today and join the fun. Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dike. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dike Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po' boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all, 227 Dike Road at the base of the Texas City Dike.
May the forks be with you. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dike. Now, here's the guy who turns all the grills on, Randy Hames.
This show is powered by foodies, and there's no better example of a foodie than our friend Shane Mesh, who joins us now. Welcome back, Shane.
Randy, I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you again. Looking forward to it.
The last time we spoke, Shane, you were literally halfway around the world. So start out by telling everybody where you were and why you were there.
Well, Randy, I was in Kazakhstan for the last little over a year, doing some work for a major oil and gas company, building a data center. It's good to be back. It was a great place to be, but, being back in Texas is always great.
Well, what brought you back to the U.S.?
Well, I was finished with my visa was finished, and my project was wrapping up, so I'm back here, and I'll be back working here in the Houston area.
Well, we can only imagine how different the cuisine is in Kazakhstan. So what are their food staples in that country?
Well, meat is a big staple for the Kazakhs. They are meat eaters. They will eat meat more than most other things. While they will eat rice and some pastas and other vegetables, there's no meal that's served without meat. believe it or not, horse happens to be one of the most favorite prized proteins there. It was quite interesting. It tastes like beef. I know some people don't care for that, but it's actually quite good.
Well, what cooking techniques do they generally employ?
You know, they tend to overcook some things, in my opinion. There's a lot of kebabs that they'll do with the meats, but when they'll cook rice with meats and stuff, they'll just cook it for long periods of time. The food's always been great. We've had some great foods there, but it's just a different style. They also picked up some of the Russian influence within their foods as well, from borscht and soups and whatnot.
What American cuisine did you miss the most while you were in Kazakhstan?
Oh, that's pretty easy. Great seafood from the Gulf. You know, we did ship some seafood in a time or two, but, you know, there's nothing like great fresh seafood, shrimp and fishes and so forth.
In keeping with that, I've always said the proof is in the pudding. So what was your first meal when you got back on American soil?
Well, I actually did go get some seafood and bought some shrimp. I had my daughter and her boyfriend come to visit us. Got some nice big head on shrimp, and I cooked them up in a recipe that I used with orange peel and butter and garlic, and cooked them whole and served with rice and some other dishes. I ate way too much, but that was my prerogative.
And there's no better place to get shrimp than Boyd's One Stop at the base of the Texas City Dike.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, well, you know, Shane, I spent 13 months in the Army. I was stationed in Korea. This was 1970. Their food safety standards were so bad back then that high command would not allow us to eat raw, locally grown vegetables. So the first meal I wanted when I got back, believe it or not, was a garden salad.
Oh, wow. It's interesting what your body will miss.
And then, of course, I wanted mom's roast beef. But you know, unlike other GIs, I really loved Korean culture and the food, too. I especially loved bulgogi, although it might have had something to do with that drop-dead gorgeous missionary's daughter I dated.
I'll bet it did.
Not to forget that her mother made a really good plate of fried chicken, too. But anyway, Shane is a foodie. He's also a backyard chef, so he's one of us. But most of us own more than one outdoor cooker. So let's start off by having you tell us, how many cookers do you own, Shane?
Well, all of my stuff is still in storage, and I haven't unpacked yet. But when I left Canada, I had to give up my smoker. So the first thing I did when I got back here was get an Old Smoky. So I've got my Old Smoky here. I haven't fired it up yet, but I will be doing that here shortly.
And what are your favorite things to grill outdoors?
I like to do meats, and sometimes if I have fresh fish, if I've got a nice redfish on the half shell, obviously, is a favorite here. I try different things. I've also done stuffed quail on the grill, where I've deboned them and stuffed them with all kinds of goodies. But, yeah, I mean, you name it. I like to throw it on the grill. I think just about everything is good on the grill, if you ask me.
Today, the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show is honoring the month of November as National Roasting Month. So let's talk about that cooking technique. What are your favorite foods to roast?
Well, you know, a nice venison roast is always good. It takes some time to do it right, but I love a venison roast.
Ooh.
Pork is another big one for me. If I can get a nice, big, thick hind pork roast and stuff it with garlic and peppers and other goodies, I will roast that whole and as well. Love to have a nice piece with a lot of the fat still on it and the skin and roast that thing whole.
Yeah, the fat and the skin are absolutely necessary, aren't they?
Absolutely. I actually got a shoulder and part of the back ribs when I was in Kazakhstan. Had to cut it up myself, but they left all of the skin on over the chop section. So I actually slit the skin open. I Frenched the bones and slit the skin around there and wrapped the whole thing in the skin and the fat. Stuffed it with garlic and other seasonings and roast it whole until I had a crispy skin all the way around. Mm. It was absolutely amazing. I wish I could get a butcher to cut it the same way for me here.
Shane and I have a mutual friend named Greg Berlocker, who just happens to be the executive producer of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. And Greg informs us, Shane, that you especially enjoy cooking duck. Is duck good for roasting?
Absolutely. You know, I have to say, duck is one of those meats that I can always go to and always like to cook. I cook it a bunch of ways, but one of the favorites, and actually quite easy way to do, is to roast a whole duck. What I like to do, Randy, is to take a fresh whole duck, clean it out well and dry it, and salt it and pepper inside the cavity and the outside, and put it in the refrigerator on a rack for a day or two. The reason I do that is I want it to be fairly dry before I cook it. I want that skin to get a little tough on the outside and start to dry where it's got a little bit of a tighter film on top. And the reason I do that is it's going to roast a little better and cleaner, and it's easier to pierce the skin without going too deep. So I would say generally I leave it in the refrigerator for a couple of days. That's what I like to do. I'll take the duck out, and I'll pierce the skin, especially in the thicker parts around the breast and the thighs and the back, quite a bit. I'll usually use a fork, or I also like to use one of these little seafood pricks and stick it all over. You can use a knife tip as well, and you just want to get underneath the skin to open it up, so that way when it starts to roast, you'll get some of the grease coming out, and it'll fry it, and you get a nice crispy skin.
Ooh, sounds good.
So what I will do, once I have my duck and it's been in the refrigerator, I'll take it and I'll pierce the skin again, and I'll salt the outside of the skin pretty well. I want to leave it and get it to room temperature before I'll stick it in the oven. I'll generally roast this duck on a raised rack for 350 degrees, and it's going to take a good 3 hours. You don't want to rush it. You want to take it slow because you don't want to burn it, but you want to get a nice, crispy skin on the outside. Now, as I said, this was simple. Salt and pepper your duck, but I'm also going to glaze the duck. And what I use for my glaze, I will get an orange, and I will zest it. And I will get some soy sauce, maybe a good cup or two of soy sauce, one zest of orange, a little bit of crushed garlic, a little salt and pepper. And I don't remember exact measurement, but I want to say a good tablespoon or two, or maybe three, of brown sugar. And I will cook that for a bit until I get it to a nice boil, and then shut that off and let it simmer. I will put my duck in the oven. And once my duck starts to get that first color change of browning on it, I start to baste my duck with the mixture that I just made. And I'll continue to do that every 15 minutes or so. I'll make sure to keep it nice and moist and keep glazing it. And I'll cook it. And like I said, it takes about 3 hours. But when you're done with it, you should have a nice, dark, crispy skin that's going to be full of flavor. The other thing that I will also do is after I've zested my orange, I will peel it. I will chop up some bigger pieces of onion, maybe some peppers, and I'll stuff all of that in the cavity of the duck. You want to make sure to put a few bigger piercings on the back when you have it in there. That way, most of that will drain. You don't want to get it too much moisture in there because you do want to get that thing crisp. But that's it. It's fairly simple. Cook it till that thing just falls. It's going to want to fall off the bone, except that skin holds it in place. And the skin is by far the best.
I told you it was a foodie. We've been visiting with one of our favorite backyard chefs and dedicated foodies. His name is Shane Mesh. He is also a Cajun foodie, and we didn't even have time to get into some of his Cajun dishes. So we'll save that for next time. Okay, Shane?
Sounds good to me, Randy. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you and the audience.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Send us your burning questions and favorite recipes in a private message on our Facebook page, The Outdoor Cooking Show, or visit our website, theoutdoorcookingshow.com. Join us next week for more tasty food and fun over a red-hot grill on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show.
I was about cooking something up with me.